Hey now, it is Dan Eberhardt here, and welcome to Growing the Future Productions, where we talk to folks who like to collaborate, innovate, and transform the agricultural industry. Thank you so much for joining us this morning for Dollars in the Dirt, brought to you by our friends at Precision Land Solutions, who we're chatting this morning. It's been exactly 10 years since I worked with Precision Land Solutions, so it's a great joy and honor to be working with them again. I'm very excited and passionate to be talking about water management with some amazing folks today, some top producers and tile experts from Manitoba. But before I introduce those esteemed folks, I wanted to hear from all of you. What was your big win in the last week? Could be personal, could be professional. Maybe you got a little bit of rain. Maybe you had a son or daughter graduate. Maybe you had a great Father's Day. I know I had a wonderful Father's Day yesterday with our family. Everybody's happy and healthy, so we're really blessed. So put that in the chat. Hopefully you can access the webinar chat there. And we're looking for interaction. We're looking for questions. This is all about you learning what you wanted to know today about water management and tile drainage. But let's just go around the horn and hear from some of the folks on the call this morning. I'm maybe guessing Chris is, or we could call him Maverick on the call. Chris's big win is to have a cup of coffee from his very own coffee vendor. Is that your big win today, Chris?
Drinking my own coffee.
That's a big win.
It is. You bet. I've been working hard at that for the last year, and I think we got something going.
Tell us quickly about that.
I love coffee.
Yeah. And now you have your own coffee shop.
Yeah, I love coffee. And so I guess together with my daughter, she just graduated from Asper. And we've kind of always wanted to have a cafe in our building here. We're between Morden and Winkler, located right in the sort of the ag corridor. And we always wanted to have a little cafe here. And so I love coffee. So we started our own little coffee shop, and my daughter is helping get this thing going. And it's a great little incubator for entrepreneurial skills. So we're having a lot of fun doing it, and we've got great coffee.
Great. And what's it called?
It's called Waypoint Coffee.
Waypoint. Cheers to Waypoint.
I can vouch for that. I've been there. Yeah. Coffee's had a chicken Caesar wrap. Very good.
Wow.
Perfect.
Was that your big win, Daryl?
That was a little while ago.
Okay. What was your big win here for the last? Okay. We need some wins in the chat here, people. Don't be shy. Put your wins in here. Go ahead, Daryl. What was your big win in the last week?
Yeah, good question. Fertigated some corn. That was nice. But also had a good Father's Day yesterday and shot a personal best golf score, 48, which I know isn't great, but I've only been at it for like the last couple of years here. So just getting into golf.
For you, farmers who golf. Start the Facebook group there.
Not a lot of time to practice.
Good for you. And Jim, what about you? What was your big wins in the last week or so here?
I put a quarter section of that coffee in for Chris. He's the contractor. He's
love it.
Be buying all my coffee.
Circle of life here. I love it. Just an entrepreneurial ecosystem.
No, the corn is starting to look good. Finally, it's been really slow, and corn is just one more crop, like our edible beans, that I think is benefiting from the tile. Any areas that got a little excess water, the corn is even slower. So anyway, in the last week, it's really picked up.
Nice. Yeah, corn's really responsive to everything, right? So it's good to see. Well, I'm really excited to hear from all these folks. And really, we want to cover a couple topics today. I think the first is land values and ROI. Tile is always talked about in the context of land values. So we'll hear from each of these individuals, their journey on land and tile. And then we want to talk a little bit about the on-farm benefits. What is it doing for them? Why does it matter? What are the outputs from this input, this system of tile drainage? And then thirdly, maybe you're wondering how to get started or what does it look like? Is it right for my farm? And we can talk about that. But again, we got 45 folks attending the call today. Please let us know if you have questions. You can put them into the webinar chat. You can put them into the Q&A. I do have a poll here for all of you. Have you tiled before? Have you already tiled on your land? Yes, no, maybe so. And we'll take a look at the results of that poll here shortly. But I think it's a big question. And what I'm wondering is, maybe we'll start with Maverick here. I don't know if everybody's going to get, you know, pilot kind of names by the end of it, but we've got one Maverick here. So Maverick, why don't you kick us off? And can you tell us, you know, looking back on how you got started in tile, what your background is, but can you do it in the context of land values? Because really that's a big thing what we're talking about. Where did we start with land values? Where are they today? And how is it changing the conversation around water management?
Sure. So I graduated for, so my name isn't Maverick, it's Chris Unruh. I grew up actually quite close to these other two folks that are on the panel here, just a couple miles south of where Daryl farms, and always had a passion for agriculture, went to University of Manitoba, got my diploma ag dep program there. And coming out of university, chased a girl down to southern Manitoba and ended up starting to work for a large potato farm. So worked my way up into management pretty quick. And one of the things that the farm had really, really been struggling with through the early 90s was excess moisture, losing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars of crop due to excess moisture. And so they were really, really looking for solutions. And they started out with surface drainage, and that made a big difference. But, you know, as I was getting into the farm in the mid 90s, we were still seeing a lot of crop loss, a lot of stunted growth, a lot of quality issues. And basically the future of the farm was in question because of all this excess moisture. So at about the same time, the Manitoba Corn Growers Association started looking at what tile drainage could do in Manitoba, sort of looking at what was going on in southern Ontario, bringing some of that technology here. The farm that I was with, we also investigated this closely and just basically decided to throw caution to the wind and go buy a tile plow and start putting in tile. And so very quickly, we saw results, quite dramatic, basically saved the farm from a lot of turmoil and loss, and the rest is kind of history. So that was in potatoes largely, but as we traded land with other growers and who were putting other crops on, we started getting a lot of positive feedback from them as well of what the benefits of tile were on these other crops. So basically, to make a long story short, I worked for the farm for 10 years, worked my way up into management there, and after 10 years had the opportunity to go on my own with this tile drainage thing. And I was told by several people, one said, what are you going to do to support your family? Are you going to, you know, drive truck or something? Because no one's going to buy tile. No one's going to put tile in Manitoba. So you better have a backup plan. And the other one asked me if I was going to pump gas in the winter. So that was some of the predictions of my future success at that time. Our business took off pretty quickly in the mid 2000s. And what we found, I would say in the first 10 years, our competitors were new land and combines, because farmers were making the decision between, do I tile or buy more land, or do I tile and buy equipment? And so there's sort of a couple different categories of thinking. And what I always found was, and this was probably in the first 10 years, was when the price of land hit $3,500 an acre, that's when the questions about tile hit. And that was kind of my magic number in the sort of the the late 2000s, 2010s was $3,500 an acre in a region, then we would start getting calls about tile because people would recognize that the costs, first of all, the capital investment in tile, the risk that was at play, all those things, that was when the economics kind of hit that threshold and people would start looking at tile drainage. We also get a lot of calls from areas where there are fairly aggressive land buyers, such as Hutterite colonies. And the questions would often be, I've got two daughters, whatever, a family that wants to start farming with me. Our land base is limited. We need to do more with what we have. And so we would get questions about tile from areas like that as well. So very highly driven by land prices and competition for land.
So does that mean with the rising land values, I mean, I'm just looking at things here, the average national increase in land value has been almost 10% per year on a 10-year average. Does that mean tiling is going into new areas that you're seeing beyond that historical?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Again, in the first 10 years of our business, we very, very often got told that tile drainage was a luxury that only potato farmers could afford. And at the same time, I had customers who did not farm potatoes, who only farmed canola and cereals, not even special crops, not even corn or oats. I had customers tiling land, growing just canola and cereal crops, saying, this is an absolute no-brainer. Absolute no-brainer. And so you have both sides of the spectrum there. People that see it as a luxury and people who see this as an absolute necessity. This is a crop input. And I don't get to look at their books. I just get the anecdotal information of what they tell us. But, you know, you've got a customer that farms canola and oats and he just keeps coming back for more. That tells you something.
Yeah, that's a great context. And hopefully people will have perhaps a different view after hearing from everybody on the call today. And we want to get to your questions. But yeah, Daryl, tell us a little bit about your history. I mean, we were talking about how you guys been tiling for 30 years, but you know, you're only 32. So I don't know if you started tiling at two or how that works. I'm not a mathematician, but what is your family's history in tile drainage and your farm and your land and all that stuff?
Yeah, so thank you. I'm actually 34, but okay. Don't look a day older than 32, I guess.
You can put dialing in four.
Well, my grandpa started the farm in 1968, so that brings you way back then. And then it was slowly, incrementally increasing the land as he found opportunity to, and then put in the first tile in 1998, and then just incrementally, as we saw value, as we saw the results, just decided it was a part of something we did, investing into our soil. And now we're about 9,700 acres total farmland, and 9,000 of that is tiled. So that's where we're at now. And then my personal journey, grew up with my dad farming. At that time, our farm already had employees, so it wasn't like your typical family farmer, the son has to farm right away to make it work. So I had opportunity to try some other stuff, but around 2016, I was starting a family and decided to get back into the farm because it was the wise thing to do. And I did love it. I was working on the farm on and off, mostly on, but doing some other things as well. And since 2020, me and my two cousins have been taking over. Kind of my dad and my uncle have been retiring. They're still around a lot, which is great. We bounce a lot of questions off them. But we're doing most of the day-to-day stuff, basically all of it. And we also want to keep tiling just because of the values that we see and the results that we see. So,
and who would have dreamed in 1968, your grandfather would have dreamed that he'd have a grandson on the farm who part of the business was to be an influencer?
Yeah, he wouldn't even know what that meant, for sure.
Yeah. Maybe he would have thought like at the local community hall or something. He never would have imagined Instagram, but you have a little bit of a part of your business, you were telling me, is you know, sharing your story as a producer. And if anybody's interested, check out Beaver Creek Farms. He does some incredible work about, you know, agriculture and what you guys
thanks do. Yeah, it started as just kind of a hobby. Like, me and my wife were wedding photographers at one time, and I've always been into video stuff. Just built a bit of a following, just kind of as a hobby, and we decided to recently take it to the next level and try to make it part of our business. So just starting that, you can see where that goes, and keep exploring that avenue as well.
Well, and shout out to Stan, because I know I got some sprayer frame
photos
from the venerable Don Rample, who unfortunately is no longer with us. God bless him. But there's some great photos of the sprayers I sold you guys over the years. So always enjoy dealing with the family farm.
Definitely inspired by my Uncle Stan, how to incorporate your hobbies like photography into agriculture. So for sure. Yeah.
And I'm just curious, before we get to Jim, what's been your view as a young person coming into farming and land values, and how do you grow it, and how do you see, you know, owning more property versus essentially renovating that property to have higher cash flow and ROI and all that? What's your view?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to what Chris said, and you have to get the value out of the acres that you own already. There's not always land to buy, and you can't just keep buying more and more acres to farm at a mediocre level to try and get the ROI. So to make the acres that we own already the best that we can is the goal.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, and Jim, you are a landowner around Portage la Prairie. My perception of you is you've always been very passionate about land ownership, land improvement. You've always been really bullish on land, and you've done very well doing that. Tell us about that, Jim. Tell us about your passion for land ownership and improvement and farming.
There's an old expression that says, the guys would say, buy land, they quit making it. Reality, like, we are making land, like with tile. I see the tile as being the next frontier of agricultural development, particularly in the wetter areas, the prairies. It's old established technology all over the Corn Belt, Ontario and stuff. As Chris mentioned, the first tilers that came here were from Ontario. Edible beans came here from Ontario. Some good things. Corn came from Ontario. Problem is, Liberals come from Ontario. I just thought I'd throw that in. But anyway.
Right. Yeah, no.
So as Chris pointed out, when this thing really made sense, so around here we've got land that's really productive, really dependable, and it will take rain, a lot of rain. By the way, if you want a map of where you need to tile, grow edible beans, because anywhere you got water saturated problems, you get these nice field view maps, go back over the years. Every time there's a wet year, it's the same areas all the time. And those are the areas that really destroy the overall profitability of those fields. But when this thing really took off was you could buy really good land here in the early 2000s, let's say, the best land that didn't need tiling for under $2,000. You could buy land that was less well-drained for $1,500. So it didn't make any sense to tile for $1,000 because you're only going to turn that $1,500 land into $2,000. But when the really good land starts being worth $4,000 or $5,000 an acre, that's when it really takes off, because the differential between the good and the poor land is way more than $1,000. And if you want to buy a quarter, any quarter is going to have areas that are imperfect. And so the way I do the numbers, I just say, look, if I got to do 40 acres, 80 acres on a quarter to turn that quarter profitable, it doesn't cost me $1,000. It really only costs me $500 an acre. Otherwise, that quarter is not profitable. So, now, tiling has gone up, but not near as much as farmland. And if you're just back to the crops, the where it really is more likely to pay. If I was just going to be growing wheat and canola and soybeans, it would be way less likely to be a profitable thing on reasonably good land. I'd get all surface drainage done, certainly for those crops, for logistics and for productivity, for efficiency. But when you get into more sensitive crops, and we used to grow lentils around here, they won't take water either. Pulse crops like lentils, peas, edible beans. I don't know, I agree with you though. It helps all the crops. It's beneficial to all the crops. As far as to really make the numbers work, the specialty crops is where you'll really see it. Of course, it costs more money to grow too. Like it costs whatever it is, several thousand dollars an acre to grow potatoes. Corn, we got to make $700-$800 an acre to grow corn just to break even. So the more expensive the crops, the more likely, and the more delicate the crops, the more likely your tile is going to pay. So I would try to get that into a couple of paragraphs.
No, that's great. That is awesome. I'm wondering, when you approach a new opportunity for land, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're always growing, Jim, and you're always on the move. If you're approaching new land, are you already imagining the water management in your head? Are you weighing all that out?
Absolutely. I might even put in a condition of my offer that I can get a tile permit, because the guys I'm competing with, they'll drive by a piece of land and say, that piece of land's not that good. They might be, it's all wet over here and it's not that productive there. And they're right. But if it's guys like, say, further along in their career, who don't have another generation coming or whatever, they don't have that horizon, they're not interested in making the tile investment to turn that farm into a productive farm. I can see what that farm's going to look like once it's tiled. And that is opened up some doors to really improve land and to visualize what a piece of land could be.
That's so interesting. And I always think of all the folks, probably us included, who thought only if I bought more land. Because I know even around Langeberg, you know, when you factor in the extra land we made by land improvements and sold off the yard, I remember when my brother started buying land, it was probably, you know, $300 an acre. Now, you can put a zero on it, and maybe they'll be calling for tile-ish soon. You know, obviously regions are differently. But how do you feel your mindset acquiring land and tiling has positioned you differently where you would have been, you know, elsewise, you know, 30 years back if you hadn't started doing this?
Well, I think drought is the only thing that can hurt us here right now. I mean, it used to be, you know, we'd have different years, 2005. We had other years around here. We made no money. You know, bean yields went down only 700 pounds from 2000 because it was too wet. That's impossible now. Now I get to keep the good years. Crop insurance can have the drought years, but we get the good years. There is no limit to the water we can't handle. We're going to turn all that water into yield. That water is our friend.
Right.
And, you know, and I could really get started on land improvement, on how it just keeps getting better, how we're pulling the salt down by moving the water down, always down, never up. And the salt will go down with it. So those areas that have been chronically bad, you might as well abandon them, put them into forage or something. Those areas, we can bring them back up, and they can potentially be some of the best producing areas because there is water there. That's why there's salt there.
And there's a lot of nutrients there over time, I suppose.
That's exactly, because yeah. It's been bloody summer fall for years.
Yeah. Well, that is warming up the conversation nicely. We're 24 past here. We got 52 on the call. And I really want to know from folks out there. I put a poll out. Please take the time to answer. What is your biggest question about tile drainage? I'll give you another minute or two on that, because I really want to pitch it to these expert folks who have a lot of experience and guide the conversation by what you most want to know. So don't be shy. Put it in the webinar chat. Put it in the Q&A. Barry Rutledge, I see you. I hear you. You got a few questions there, but if you don't mind, I'd like to leave those till we get to the more technical aspects, since they're kind of nuts and bolts questions, but put them in there. So let's talk about benefits. We talked a little bit about the land side. And if anybody has any more questions about land values, if you have more questions about tiling versus buying, we can talk about that till the cows come home, at least to the top of the hour. But what does tile do for the land? And let's rotate back, I guess, to Daryl. What do you see? I saw you out at your tile drainage, your pump there, your lift station.
Lift station, yeah.
Yeah. So what is it doing for you guys? What is the tile doing for you guys?
Oh, man. I mean, Jim touched on a lot of stuff already just with his little talk there, which was great. But it mostly comes down to logistics and management as far as like planting date. I mean, I have a list of things here, so I could just list them off.
But yeah, please do if you like.
Yeah, so it gets us in the field earlier in the spring, which gives us a more uniform seeding. We don't have to leave out many wet spots or any wet spots. Any big rains, it'll drastically reduce the runoff and the water erosion. Because there's already room in the soil because the tile has taken out the excess water already. So if it rains, it can soak in a little bit and then run out that way instead of just sailing off your field into the ditch, taking a bunch of dirt with it. So, and for that matter, that kind of runoff, it takes pressure off of the ditches too, right? The municipal ditches, by allowing it to soak into your field easier and then either get come out the gravity drain, or if you have a lift station, it get pumped out the lift station directly into a ditch instead of finding its own way through the dirt. Yeah. On dry years, obviously the yields, you know, won't change much as far as what you're gonna gain from tile, because like Jim touched on, those are the years that don't really change much. But on the wet years, they change drastically. So we were just, me and Uncle Stan were talking about a field that we tiled semi-recently, but the one kind of wetter year, the canola did 10 bushels an acre. And then after tiled, there's another sort of wet spring that did 40. So that kind of difference, you see, can see that thing, that kind of difference on a crop like canola or any crop. If it's a higher value cash crop, then even better. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of benefits. It also, as the water flows down, it allows it to infiltrate the soil, and it aerates the soil by creating those channels. And we irrigate as well, so that really, every 4 years we got potatoes on most of our land. So that allows the water to push down, push through and out, bring any salts down with it too. Same as rain does, but if you can do it with irrigation too, that sure helps. And then just gives us the confidence. We can plan and manage our field operations, whether it's tillage, seeding, spraying, harvest as well. Like we can get in there sooner. We don't have to worry too much about rain delays, not nearly as much as we used to.
Right.
And we just got two new quarters that aren't tiled yet. And yeah, that one inch rain we had kind of in planting season, if we were waiting a solid week and a half and still had to go around some wet spots. Whereas another field close by that we had tiled just a couple years ago, I was in there May long weekend right after that rain. And I was flying my drone, filming some YouTube videos, and just looking around, there's just puddles everywhere, you know, except for the field that I was in. That was the only tractor out there planting that day. So it's kind of interesting to see.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I have a question here from Corey Peters. Thank you. Feel free to anybody jump in here, given their experience and expertise. Does ROI go down in heavy clay compared to sandy soil? Who wants to take that one? Maverick?
Okay, so I would say we ourselves don't have a lot of great data on ROI. We get feedback from our growers, right? We get feedback from our customers. And at the end of the day, you know, when you see tile being put in various places in the world, probably 90% of it is in heavy clay. That's, you go and you look around through the Corn Belt, through Europe, through all these areas where tile is being used extensively, it's in heavy clay. In England, they'll tile into heavy clay, and then they will mold drain across to get the water flowing to the tile. So we see a lot of tile going in heavy clay around the world. If you look, it's interesting when you drive down Highway 75 and magically when you hit the border, all of a sudden there's lift stations in the interstate ditch all the way to Fargo. And so, you know, people are tiling heavier soil in this area. It just hasn't taken off in Manitoba yet. We're a little unsure why. I think probably some of it is that perception that this is a luxury for potato farmers because that's where it started. But we've done some work in the last couple of years on heavy clay. We've had great results. We've got a couple of guys in that Winnipeg area that have done a lot of work actually in the last number of years and seeing great results. So exactly what the ROI does on clay, I can't tell you, but I can tell you I can hook you up with customers that we have who are tiling heavy clay and having great results.
Well, and one of the most famous proponents of tile drainage, I was speaking about it at Manitoba Ag Days intensively this year, was Hefty Brothers. Where are they located? Red River Valley.
Yeah. One other thing maybe I just want to interject a little bit that sort of fits into this ROI and investment in land piece is the tax benefit of tile. So with tile drainage being considered it's considered a land improvement, which is 100% tax deductible in the year of installation. So this is not, you know, a lot of guys will they'll depreciate it on their books, but for tax, it's 100% tax deductible. So Jim, when you talk about, you know, the cost of tile for an acre being, you know, only whatever, instead of $1,000, because you're only tiling half, you know, half of the acres, it's down to, you know, $400 or $500. The best part of that, Jim, is that if you're taxable that year, that's, you know, another $250 an acre that you don't have to send to the Liberals.
Amen.
So,
well, Jim, I want to let you speak to that, but I had a question. I had a question here too, that I thought maybe you could answer too while you're at it, because there was some talk, Mark from Blumengart's asking, why is it some guys tile and they see no advantage and knock the guys that tile? But Jim, I was just wondering, if you bought a combine for $1 million or put $1 million into drainage last year, how does that play out financially on your farm? That's a lot of questions, but I know you can handle it.
Well, I mean, it's not as a tax strategy. Machinery, of course, a depreciable asset. And the great thing about, you know, tile is it actually holds its value. You know, yeah, you get the Liberals to pay for a third, whatever your tax rate is, you know. You know, I prefer tile as a tax strategy. As Chris mentioned, our accountants leave it on the books as an asset, even though we've written it off. We, you know, it's slowly depreciated for tax purposes, but you get to write the whole thing off right off the bat. So it's a really good tax strategy. You know, and of course, all of our invoices come in just before the end of the tax year, and away we go. I pay them sometime. No, I pay them right on that date.
Yeah,
Corey, we have some Red River clay and we have some Osborne clay, and I think is a misperception. The idea, I guess, people assume that somehow the water doesn't get through into the tile in clay land, but it really does work well on a clay soil. I mean, your Red River clay, we're not at the heaviest Red River. They call it Plum Coulee clay, silty clay. It turns these fields really, really dependably productive. They're already productive soil, but when they get full of water, oh, it's ugly. So I'm a big believer that tile works really well in heavier soils, as well as it does in light soils. One of my observations was, if you get really hard rain on heavy clay, a lot of that hard rain is going to run off. So the tile capacity is enough to keep the soil in good condition, the roots in good condition. Whereas sometimes the sand, you get a big rain, it'll go in, and the tiles are going to be loaded up pretty steady for a few days. So it's well suited for clay, in my opinion.
Jim, do you have a philosophical?
Just to finish that thought, I would put it is this way: I think you can turn soybean land into edible bean land with tile. And that's a big deal. You can turn wheat land into corn land with tile. And that's a really big deal.
And doesn't this renovation or improvement of the land add a lot of value over time if it's producing? And wouldn't that be part of
it? As far as the soil is concerned?
No, as far as what your land is worth.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure, but... We might borrow against it, but we ain't never going to sell it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess, yeah.
I don't know.
It's like Bitcoin. You just hold it.
I guess what it's worth, that's the whole idea. Is I said, by spending $1,000, you might increase the value of certain parts of your field by 2000. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
those
right.
areas that drag you down. Yeah, you're naturally it's worth more when you finish than when you started. By the way, nobody ever regrets tiling a piece of land. It's like planting a tree. You know, the best time was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, and nobody regrets buying a new John Deere combine either. Trust me. Like, there's never any guilt.
Except for when you buy tile, your land gets better. As soon as you buy a piece of equipment, it's new and nice, but it starts to get worse.
Yeah.
It appreciates, whereas your land gets better.
How do you feel about the net land values, or I guess your net worth? I mean, it's all just a number on paper, but do you see that putting renovation into your land increases the net holdings, or how do you see that, Daryl?
Yeah, I mean, similar to Jim, like we're not looking at the actual price of our each of our acres to sell or anything, but for us, it just provides so much value, efficiency, logistics, and then yield. So it's hard to explain in a number, but.
Well, and I hope, you know, I think we're doing our best to address that. And everybody's got such a unique variable situation on their farm. And I know Connor from Patera Seeds here was asking about profitability and heavy clay soil as well. How long to pay off? But maybe how long to pay off is like a metric that's easier to rule a thumb at. Is that fair? Does anybody have any time to pay off numbers in their head or their pocketbook?
Depends how fast you get those drown out years.
Yeah.
You know, last year, the difference between, we had a lot of rain, difference between a tiled quarter and a non-tiled quarter, $500-$600 an acre worth of beans. We would have paid for half of it in those areas. So if you're going to get serious, if you're anticipating serious water damage, your payoff time is going to come pretty quick.
So it depends on how much it rains.
Like most of farming. I just wanted to say something about, I'll give
sure.
you guys a
Go ahead,
story
please.
About a little anecdote about soil conservation. I have a piece of, about the development of soil, health of the soil. I had a piece of land that I bought when I was 19. And 1 year we had a good crop coming and we had a lot of rain. And there was a bunch of drownouts in this field, all over this field. Really good farm. And the next year when we planted that, darn if that field didn't start blowing. And the reason that it started blowing, like if you're passionate about soil conservation, like all of us are, was because there wasn't enough straw on it. So I got religious about it. I'm going to tile that field because I'm not going to tolerate any more drownouts that was going to make that field vulnerable from lack of straw cover. So I've done nothing but bumper crops ever since. And that's the best thing for a piece of land is to grow lots. Deep roots and lots of vegetation, you know, make water your friend.
That's a common sense definition of sustainability. I mean, it's not a buzzword that we care to use a whole bunch, I don't think, in agriculture down here in the ground, but I think it goes hand in hand, right? What you're talking about there with taking care of the land. I love this question, though. I want to get back to it from Mark at Bloom & Garden. Give anybody a chance to answer it philosophically or you know, psychologically or practically or whatever. Why is it some guys tile and they say they see no advantage and knock the guys that tile? Who wants to take that one?
I'd like to know who it is that's tiling and saying it's not working, because I can, in my 20 years of doing this, I can only think of one customer that's ever come back and said this didn't do anything for me, and he's not in this area here. I think a lot of farmers hold their cards pretty close to their chest. There's competition for land, and I think that may have something to do with it. I don't know. I'd be very interested. I know, you know, are there errors? Is there land that doesn't benefit from tile? Absolutely. So the easiest way that I like to explain this is to say, if you get into a wet period of time and it stops raining and your surface drainage has run off, finished running, and if you go and get a backhoe and dig a hole in your field, what will happen? If the hole fills with water, tile will work. Your crop will benefit from tile because roots do not grow in liquid water. They just don't. They only grow in that magical solution of 30% soil, 30% air, 30% water. So if the hole fills with water, your crop's going to benefit. So are there places in Manitoba where you could dig a hole after a wet period and it would not fill with water? Absolutely. There's places like that. There's places around Carberry where you've got the aquifer below and nothing but sand on top and the water will run down. There's also places in Carberry where water sits. I've flown over it lots. So this is a very field specific in some cases thing. It's regional, it's field specific, but the magic formula is, do you have a restrictive layer that's holding water up near the surface? Tile will benefit. End of story.
Yeah. And it could be a combination of surface and subsurface. That's the key. And that's why you work with the experts to figure this out. Chris, maybe you want to tell us a little bit about, I know we got some questions here. I don't know who Toter 149 is technically, but please
Dan, I just jump in on that.
Go ahead, Jim.
Dan, in terms of the, you know, the great thing about agriculture is it's totally decentralized management. Everybody's in control of their own operation, and everybody can make decisions and live with the consequences of those decisions. It's awesome. I mean, that's the way agriculture ought to be. It's not, there's no central control. So, the only advice I would have in regards to that question is for a guy to try a piece that he thinks has potential, you know, and then you'll see for yourself, because that is the best toe in the water way to approach it. That's how we all started on it. And, as for guys that don't want to believe in it, whatever, who cares? It's up to them, because there may be other reasons. You know, in the grain trade, you say you're talking your position. Well, maybe you guys got a different time horizon. Like if you're 50 something or 60, I mean, if you're going to retire in 5-6 years and then have a sale, I don't know that you'd necessarily get all your money out of it right off the bat. So you're looking at things differently than if you got the big long-term horizons. That might be one reason.
Yeah, and I appreciate that you're kind enough to come on and share competitive advantage and, you know, encourage other people to get on it, when technically if you were the only one with that advantage, you'd actually fare better in a capitalist system. The ROI and numbers behind the tile, such as costs for custom and personal installation, and curious about the process, planning, and regulations within Manitoba. That's Toter 149. Is that, you know, we got 17 minutes left here. Who would like to walk us through that a little bit? Maybe Maverick, that would be a good fit for you.
Can you say it again? Say the question.
So the question is basically, they're asking about the ROI, the numbers behind costs for custom and personal installation, curious about the process, planning, and regulations within Manitoba. It's the whole kit and caboodle, big question mark, existential, how do I start to tile? Can you just walk us through that process, Chris, what your company does?
Yeah, I can.
Or is that the right question? Sorry.
No, that's good. So I did this myself on the farm that I was working for 10 years. And at the time, if you wanted to tile in Manitoba, you had to go and get the permit yourself. You had to go buy the pipe yourself. You had to hire a backhoe, you had to supply a tractor and a man for stringing out the pipe, and then the plow would show up, and then you probably had to feed them lunch. So when we started our company, the goal was a solution, complete solution, start to finish, because we know that the farmers who are dedicated to their craft, they are concentrating on farming. They can make more money by doing what they do well, which is farming. And we also found that a lot of people will work their butts off all year long and finally get their crop in the bin, and then their guys are tired and they don't want to go out and sit in a wet hole all for the rest of till it freezes up and do this kind of work. So our model is built on a solution where we do everything from start to finish. So we help folks like Daryl and Jim work with RMs, work with neighbors, work with whatever regulating bodies are involved, whether it's highways, et cetera, et cetera. all the way through the process, right through installation. So survey, design, installation, everything. That's the model that we've followed, and it's been quite successful. We do help people who want a tile on their own. In my mind, any tile that goes in, any tile that goes in is a good thing as long as it's done right. When you start, I did some tile for the farm that I worked for with a pull-type plow. So we self-installed a little bit, and we recognized from the outset some of the limitations and drawbacks that has. So can you do it? Absolutely. Can I build my business on what a pull-type tile plow can do? No, I can't do that. There are limitations that you have to be willing to live with, and some of that will come in performance of the system. But we're all for helping people. If you need help with permitting, surveying, design, putting mains in, and you want to go put your own laterals in, you know, be my guest. We'd love to see it go in. We just want to see it done right, because tile that's put in poorly could have a negative impact on the regulating people that are out there.
Absolutely. And I put a link in the chat there to contact the good folks at Precision Land Solutions that can work you through all the ins and outs of that. Barry Rutledge had a question about dealing with what can go wrong. I think you touched on it. Maybe you have somebody there and you forgot to bring them lunch. You know, that's dangerous. Grumpy army.
And you know what? I'll be the first to admit we're not perfect either. Right. And so we stand behind our work, and you know, in the millions of feet that we've put in over the last 20 years, yeah, there's the occasional time where we have to go back and troubleshoot a problem. There's a wet spot and we go and we dig it up and we find out. I know I did one on one of Daryl's fields a number of years ago, and there was a wet spot. We went and dug it up and found the skeleton of some kind of animal that must have crawled during installation and tried to chew its way out, right? So stuff happens, and it always shows up as a wet spot in the field that doesn't make sense. The farmer calls us, we go out with a backhoe, we find the problem and fix it. And so we usually end up doing a couple of those a year, which I think on the scale of what we're doing here is quite remarkable. Frost is a problem. That is just, you know what, when you live where we do in our climate, frost is gonna be a problem. And frost and underground water can create interesting situations that require some creativity to deal with. So, you know, especially if you've got water that's trickling through a pipe, and then in late November, you keep driving over it with the corn truck, you're gonna drive frost down and create a problem. And so we see that happen. That's just sort of what we get here.
That makes sense. And I think that answers Barry's question a little bit more. And obviously, Barry, if you want to get a hold of the good folks at Precision Land Solutions to help fix some of the issues you've been dealing with, that would be great. And I put it in the poll here. What is your biggest hurdle getting started with tile? So take the time to answer that. We're getting close to the top of the hour here. I respect everybody's time, and I appreciate everybody who joined us. We had an awesome crowd here this morning. If you have any more questions, please ask us. I mean, Will's asking here, would the tile help on high salinity soil? I think we touched on that. Does anyone have anything to add on that? Okay, I think we had addressed that.
It might
that.
Take some time.
Right.
It's going to take some time and some flushing rains.
Well, and I think there's a combination of soil amendments as well as drainage that help. So if we share the results of this... this poll here, some of the challenges is design and labor, time, growing crops, dry, already late season, money can be a hurdle, regulations. When is the best time to tile, Jim?
I told you 20 years ago. Well, luckily, like these guys said, Chris had pointed out, we even used to hire our combines because you got this peak labor requirement in fall. But after we get our crop off, we try and get these guys in as soon as possible so we can get it all groomed down ready before freeze up. So that's a great time, but all our guys are busy at that time of year. So that's why we like somebody to provide full service, you know, turnkey operation sort of thing. So that's what we prefer.
How do you pay for tile? Can you finance it, or how do the banks view tile? Is it inventory asset?
To start to recognize that. Yeah. The banks recognize the value.
Yeah. It's surprising FCC doesn't have, can you finance it with FCC or as part of the, do they have any program? That might be a good thing to look into.
I don't know, but
it's going to be tied to the mortgage, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Chris.
I don't think there's specific programs, but yeah, we hear of our clients financing tile all the time.
You do, eh?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's looked upon quite favorably by the lenders because it's a risk reduction, right? It helps them. It reduces their risk.
Yeah, it's a risk management tool.
I was just going to finish that thought about the full service.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people living on acreages and stuff around here. So what a PLS or whoever your provider does for a living is they're going to get people to sign off, you know, that may not understand it. So they have to take the time to explain, you know, what it's going to be like having a trickle of water running down the road ditch sometimes. Instead of a flood, like Daryl mentioned, and when there's a big rain, it's going to be a trickle over a period of days. And they also deal with bureaucrats. So those are two of the things that probably I'd like to do least in the whole world. Is talk. Don't understand farming and bureaucrats.
Right. So,
and they get their licenses.
Well, Garnet was mentioning that the Ontario government subsidizes tile, and you got to wonder why maybe we're not on that train, but maybe for the future. Trevor Sherman had a great comment, and he's way out in Saskatchewan there, North Balfour-ish, I guess. And his comment is, payoff is in the first wet year. Also, salt areas are turned into new acres and equipment efficiency as well. That's a really big deal, hey? Jim, I can see you nodding there.
Corner to corner, big deal.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a wet harvest. That's, you know... You got the tow tractor out there all the time. Rots.
Yeah.
That's one big thing that Robert Angelic always talks about to me is the efficiency of the land as far as the equipment, as far as the equipment goes. We got 7 minutes left here. I'm going to ask you folks that were very gracious to give us your time and attend today. What was your biggest takeaway? We'll get that wrapped up. We're coming in hot at 7 minutes to the top of the hour. Before we do a little bit of wrap up here, regulatory wise, what's shaking out there? How's things going in the RM of Portage? how is it going on the regulatory side? I think that's always a big question.
Our municipality is pretty good, I think. You know, we deal with obstacles all the time when we're farming. You just got to find a way around it. You know, you got to work with people. You got to stick handle. You got to have patience. It's only a barrier if you let it be a barrier. Otherwise, you'll get there. And
well said. What about you, Daryl? I guess that might be something, too, that the provider takes care of for you, the solution provider.
Yeah. Yeah. We work with Ray Wolf, and he's really great to work with. And our municipality is also pretty good as far as that goes. The hurdle we've ran into is on a couple of fields is wetlands. So designated wetlands, what to do with it, tile around it. You can pay to tile through it. It costs though $10,000 an acre. So that's tough, but. That's one of the hurdles.
Right.
And just got to work around that, though. But otherwise, not too bad.
Maverick, do you have any comments on the regulatory landscape there? Maybe even for some of our friends going west?
I would say anecdotally, I don't have data to support this, but anecdotally, it feels like when we first started this business, it took about 2% of our energy to deal with the regulatory side.
Right.
And now it feels like about 50% of our energy goes into that. It's wild. That's a lot of what we do. We have people in our business that that is what they do. So the amount of energy that we put into that is crazy. Interestingly, the change in government in Manitoba makes no difference at all. And this is my opinion, but right. We had just as much trouble or resistance or difficulty getting permits when it was a conservative government as when it was now an NDP government. There's probably been some smaller changes, within that, but it's just the problem here has always been that tile is a new thing for Western Canada. It's an unknown. And now you have something you can point at. There's an outlet in the ditch or an outlet coming from a lift station that you can point at, and it's new and it wasn't there before. So the hard thing for us that are in this industry to understand is that when you travel and go to other regions where they've been tiling for decades, if not hundreds of years, you don't need to.
Oh, we lost Chris.
It's frozen high in the clouds there, Maverick.
I'll just tell you a story about Ontario as far as the overall environment, regulatory environment. So I was telling one of these guys from Ontario that we have a neighbor that is trying to prevent us from tiling, and he's a farmer. And this guy from Ontario says, well, in Ontario, you can't stop a guy from tiling. Mm-hmm. You have to get a permit to do that.
It's
in other words, you automatically have a right to tile. The guy that wants to stop you has to get the permit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that you'd have to prove a good reason to stop the progress of mankind instead of the other way around, which is
exactly. Where
our society, like imagine that our society is designed that you have to prove why it's a good idea to advance civilization. But that could be a contentious statement right there. Some great, great takeaways here. Corey shares, I'm a farmer, so learning, there's a tax benefit is a huge selling point. Good point. Nathan Sims, 1947 shared, best time to tile is 20 years ago. W. Truman said, solutions are possible for wetlands that will improve your bottom line. Stan Weeb said, start with your wettest field and just get started. Sounds like a Nike commercial. I love it. Just do it. TrailsendFarms.Limited, value is not a question, expensive, but valuable. And Tony from Access Credit Union, maybe he's wanting to lend some money out here, folks. When prices get above $3,500 an acre, drain tile is a great thing to look at. He would love to finance you. Look up Tony at Access Credit Union. Tony, if you want to put your contact into the chat and finance some tile today, it's a big win-win-win. Garnet Peters from AccuPipe Manufacturing from Winkler, Manitoba says, Dan does an amazing job. And with that, it's 8:59. Bring it home, guys. 30-second summary here. Here's Tony put his email into the chat.
I will just touch on what Ray Chris was saying there before about...
Yeah, go ahead.
The amount of regulatory energy that your business has absorbed. I think it's just because it used to be for the farmer doing it, and you guys just do so much for the farmer now that more than you used to. You guys cover all the solutions. That's huge for us because we just say, hey, we got this wet land, we need it tiled, and they take over 99% of it. And we do the plan together and everything, make sure it's all good, but they do all the work. It's pretty awesome.
Great. Yeah. Joel Dirksen had a question here. Sorry to cut you off. If you had something to add there, please do go ahead. But this question here from Joel Dirksen, Chris, would it be possible, maybe you've done it already, to bring in the professionals from other regions to educate officials in Manitoba to help improve legislation? Are you working with CAP or other agricultural bodies?
And that would be hour two of the Dan Eberhardt future podcast. Just to make that really short, the Manitoba government views me as someone that just wants to fill their pockets putting in tile. So it needs to be driven by farmers. It has to be driven by producer groups. So my best advice is for you to, talk to your producer group, whether it's corn, soybeans, special crops, whoever, and ask them to talk to the government. The government wants to talk to groups, not to people. So that we are in contact with them. We try as best as we can, but We don't get much of an ear.
Yeah, I can testify to 2 years with Precision Land Solutions. Advocacy was a big percentage of the time there, and it's a lot of politics, unfortunately. I like Ontario's precedents, but what an amazing conversation. I thought it was really great, and I think a lot of people on the call got a lot of value out of it, too. Of course, the lifespan of a tile system is always a question. Dustin Clausen is asking about maintenance requirements. How long does tile last, Chris?
We don't know. The engineers will tell us 60 years, which is engineer speak for forever. But it really depends on the quality of installation. There's clay tile out there that's still running and still working fine. But yeah, we don't know.
Yeah. I think the Egyptians did something. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have tile that's 27 years old and tile that's 2 years old, and it's all working just as well as the next field. So
good. Well, hey, do you guys want to wrap it up then? We'll start with Daryl, and then we'll hear from Jim, and then we'll let Maverick wrap it up. Daryl, any final comments to share?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. This was great. I learned some stuff as well, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. And if anyone has any questions, you can find my Instagram at Beaver Creek Farms and message me there, or if you know anyone that has my phone number, you can text me. But
yeah. That's awesome. No, I would really encourage people to follow Beaver Creek on Instagram. It's an incredible view. And Jim, what about your Instagram? What's your Instagram handle?
Well, you guys can, anybody that wants, you just go on the Palliser Farms website and you can contact me if you want. You talk about tile. I like talking about tile. But through this whole process, boy, I've learned a lot. You always keep learning as a farmer. You never stop. But about the things that are going on under the ground, you know, like what's going on with the roots and the health of that environment down there. It's a really big deal. I remember having beans in ground that was saturated. The roots had actually just rotted right off and gone. So, yeah, it's sort of empathizing with the plant and with the soil, and it's real farming. I really like tile.
Well, I sure appreciate you coming on, and I always appreciate your attitude and your wisdom and your outlook, your mindset ever since I met. I guess it was over 20 years ago now, 20 some years ago we met on the sprayer front, and you were doing your thing then. But thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your experience with everybody on the call today, Jim. That means a lot. And I put your website in the chat for folks to take you up on your gracious offer.
Anytime.
That's great, man. I really appreciate that. Maverick, are you going to bring us on home here, land the plane?
Well, yeah, hour three we should do with all of the fun stories of Dan working with PLS.
I don't know if we want that to get out on the internet. That might break, man. The internet. Yeah, no, 2 years of...
I mean, I've had a wonderful career here. I love working with the, you know, the guys that we've got on this thing. Things have changed. I'm focused on a few other things right now, so I don't get to see them as much as I used to, but whenever I run into them, it's a great time. And it's just great to be part of an industry where things are moving forward and we're making advances. So I just love it.
It was truly an honor to have my hair straight back for 2 years straight with yourself and PLS. It's one of my greatest memories professionally, and you know, helped us really get our start at Eberhard Ag. And I remember you and me, a couple of 10 quick starts running around your plane there in Western Canada doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So I also remember we had to almost do a crash landing in Wyoming too, but that's for part three. I was praying and hoping the text would get to my family in time before I hit the hills of Wyoming there, but we lived. So anyways, lots of stories, lots of love. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for everybody that attended. I hope you took some good takeaways. We're going to put this on every format out there, audio, video, known to man. And hopefully we can keep the conversation going, but I guess that's up to PLS. But I think it's been great value to everybody here. And imagine some of your worst dirt might be transformed into your best land, and we're advancing civilization as we go. Water management is the hallmark of civilization. Just ask Holland. On that, thanks, everybody. Have a great week. I really appreciate you, and take care. That's it for now.
Good harvest, guys. Good crop.
Yeah. Have a great season. So see you at Ag in Motion. Take care. Bye for now. Thanks, guys.